Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go! Break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons football Monday night. Falcons and Raiders tonight in Lost Wages, Nevada. By the way, for all of you who don't know, John Fergie alongside our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. For all of you who don't know, I had to learn this the hard way, Joe. It's Nevada, okay?
Is it? Okay.
Nevada. If you say Nevada, you might as well say Illinois.
It's weird because Nevada seems
Arkansas.
Wrong. Like, it feels like Nevada would be the correct way, but I guess it's not. Like, Nevada just sounds that sounds like American version of like however it's supposed to be pronounced. I guess not.
Yeah, Nevada. No, it's Nevada. Nevada, not Nevada. Nevada. And I only learned that because one day I was doing, you know, the University of Nevada, the Wolfpack up there in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
Well, way back in the day, 40 years ago, they were a 1AA powerhouse. And they won national titles in Reno. And they were called Nevada Reno at the time. And they've since dropped the Reno. So I was doing the highlights of the highlights of the 1AA championship game. Nevada Reno wins, and I'm like, Nevada Reno wins. The mayor of Reno calls CNN.
Oh, no.
Hang on. Stand by for the mayor of Reno. No, and so I had to look him up. No, legitimately, the mayor. He says, look, do me a favor. Pronounce our state correctly. I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
That's what comes with the big platform there. You gotta get those pronunciations.
I guess. You never know. I mean, right?
Disrespectful, yeah, okay. If not.
Yeah. Injury report tonight is brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder, now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. Now, Joe, we have to, because we don't have 3 hours to do the injury report on all of the hundreds and thousands of Falcons fans that are now on the IR with separated shoulders from throwing things at the television. So we'll just lump them into one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're all hurting. It's kind of funny. The injuries are a huge part of the narrative and frankly, the way that this game is going to play out, because the Raiders are down now two quarterbacks after losing Gardner Minshew earlier this year, and then Aiden O'Connell is going to miss tonight. So it will be Desmond Ridder, who is the starting quarterback for them. Also going to be out is Sam Webb, a cornerback, and Max Crosby, of course, their best defensive player, will miss this one. He'll miss the rest of the season dealing with a high ankle sprain. And for the Falcons, we had breaking news on the injury front earlier in the show. Ruka Roro has been activated off of IR. He will play in the game tonight, I expect. He's ready to go. But Troy Anderson, placed on IR, still dealing with that knee. He hurt it in the game in which he won Defensive Player of the Week against the Saints in the 26-24 win in Week 4, I believe that was. He was on IR for a while, came back these recent couple games and played a kind of a bit part, but not a full role. And clearly they still don't think that knee is right. So he's unfortunately out. Casey Washington will also be out of this one tonight.
And Desmond Ridder will start. His backup, by the way, is a guy named Carter Bradley. And I had to look him up. Carter Bradley was quarterback at South Alabama, which won his bowl game the other night. and is now the backup quarterback. So if anything happens to Dez, Carter Bradley's in.
Ooh. Raiders are. Yeah, well. That's tough.
Well, it is, except for the fact that if they put Carter Bradley in, he's going to have a Carter Bradley moment. You know that. It's going to be like, Carter Bradley can't do anything wrong. Oh, my God, Carter Bradley.
It'll be like a Tommy Cutlets type of situation. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it'll just be, you know, Tommy DeVito kind of times 10, you know? I mean, you know, though, Tommy DeVito suddenly is starting for the end. We'll see Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, hey, well, speaking of the devil, we'll see him next week.
Right, exactly. Part of the Wait For Tailgate Show is brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. As we count you down to the Falcons-Raiders tonight, again, doubleheader on NFL football, Bears and Vikings at 8, and then that'll be followed about 20 minutes later by the Falcons and the Raiders for two games tonight on Monday Night Football. But really, this week isn't so much about when we get to it. This week is really going to be dominated. There'll be, obviously, reaction to whatever happens tonight. Tomorrow morning on the morning shift and throughout the day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But by the time we get to Wednesday, page turn is going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Because, Joe, this playoff is coming.
Yep.
And I can't tell you, even though my team's not in it, my wife's team's in it, your team is in it, mm-hmm. my team is not in it, how excited I am as a college football fan to see how this plays out. Begins Friday night. One of the things I wanted to know is, will we get any games in the north, you know, kind of the week of Christmas? Well, we get three. Now, it's not going to snow, at least according to the latest forecast, but it's going to be frigid cold in all three spots.
Mm-hmm.
How excited just broadly are you for this playoff?
I feel like this is what we've been waiting the whole season for. It feels like, I at least, I'm an Ohio State fan, so they're a team that's obviously very talented, and you kind of expect them to have a record that gets you, you know, to this point in the season. So, you know, I don't want to sound like a super cocky here, but like I was expecting this team to be in it, and so I've just kind of been waiting for most of the season to get to this point, and I'm obviously very happy it's here. I wish they maybe had a bit of an easier game than they do have in the opening round. I think it is kind of the standout game, but it certainly should be a spectacle, obviously, against a team in Tennessee that's kind of a rising star in the SEC.
And Tennessee goes into Ohio State. That'll be the last game played in the opening round. Friday night, the Indiana State Championship game.
That's funny.
I said this to somebody, and somebody said, Notre Dame's in Indiana? And I went,
yeah, it's so funny. A lot of people don't even know.
Yeah. Where did you think Notre Dame was? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Chicago, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, they have such a national fan base, and you don't really – yeah, it's kind of funny. You don't, and they don't have a state or city attached to the name of the university, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's in South Bend, Indiana. Technically, it's in Notre Dame, Indiana. They have their own post office on campus, but that's beside the point. So Indiana, the Hoosiers, who nobody projected, Kirk Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers, to take 13 James Madison transfers, plug them in, and have them succeed like this to go up to face the Irish in the opening game on Friday night. It should be a lot of fun. My wife is beside herself because she's an IU grad, in terms of excitement for this game. So it should be, hey, listen, I don't know what's going to happen in these games. You got Indiana and Notre Dame on Friday night, SMU and Penn State on Saturday at noon. It's going to be cold in State College, and 102,000, 103,000 people. Going to be 103,000 people in every game on Saturday. Texas and Ohio State as well. Clemson at Texas.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And Clemson coming off that big win over SMU. And then, Tennessee and Ohio State.
John, let me ask you
Big
this.
Big Ten is going to be front and center.
Let me ask you this about that Indiana State Championship game. Which, between Notre Dame and I'd like to ask you to be as unbiased as possible here. Which team do you think gives Georgia the tougher test? Because the winner of that game will play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I said, I think if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm almost rooting for Notre Dame. Notre Dame's defense is really good. I get it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're going to be playing Gunnar Stockton at this point, unless there's some, sea change in Carson Beck's, prognosis, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be. But at the same time, I think that Notre Dame offensively is kind of one-dimensional, and I think your defense can – Indiana's better off, got a better offense.
Right,
Indiana,
right.
Indiana is a lot like – Indiana's Ole Miss with a better defense.
Right.
And people are like, Indiana doesn't belong here. I'm like, Indiana can play, guys. Okay?
They can.
Curtis Rourke, Surratt, you call Waffle House because he's always open. Ellison and Lawson, they're running backs. They can play.
They can. They've got to protect that quarterback. You know, I think Ohio State really kind of exposed a vulnerability they have in protecting the passer. I think a lot of their concepts are probably like five route concepts where they don't have a lot of guys, at least in that game, they didn't have a lot staying in to protect. And Ohio State was just getting the quarterback left and right. It'll be interesting to see how they adjust, obviously, going against a big program in Notre Dame. And if they do get past that team, how that would fare against Georgia if they've maybe learned any lessons from that Ohio State game.
Right. I mean, that's the question. Did they learn lessons? And the Ohio State game as well. I mean, they had a muff punt snap and a drop punt, and all sorts of things went wrong for them. And it was a big stage for a lot of these younger players who had never been on a big stage like that. And, you know, how do they adjust to the big stage? You know, did they finally learn from that? And then they had the game against Purdue where they had the weird, almost, I think, for the something like the first time in 40-some-odd years, where a team would have scored more points than yards allowed because they had 66 to nothing, and Purdue only had 67 yards.
That's crazy. That's crazy. What? and hey, I'm biased here, so also I want to hear your take on Ohio State, Tennessee. How do you think that game plays out?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one because they're going to have to lean on Dylan Sampson as long as he's healthy because I don't have a whole lot. Nico Iamaleava is I'm not sure he's there yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, so
a little flaky.
I think that you know, Ohio State still is, and my only concern. You're an Ohio State fan. You tell me, is Ohio State's head still in the trap of what happened against Michigan?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. I at least that's where I'm at as an Ohio State fan. I'm thinking that this team is just a purely defensive football team, not expecting anything from them offensively, even though they have incredibly talented pieces on offense. I've lost faith in Chip Kelly. I'll just put it that way. I just think his offense is kind of stuck in about 10 years in the past, and you see a lot of other coordinators doing a lot better job, very innovative, and he's not.
Would you have been better off with Kyle McCord, State?
No, I don't go that far. I actually blame more of the fault on Chip Kelly than I do on the quarterback, even though I don't think the quarterback, Will Howard, is very good either.
All right, that'll be a lot of fun. But first things first, we got to get the Raiders, we got to get a win for the Falcons so we're not playing taps all week long on the radio station and, you know, oh my god. You know.
It's going to be
thank God
week.
For the Hawks, John.
You're right.
You know, right exactly. When we get back in a moment, what it takes to win tonight, we'll hear from Raheem Morris, and we'll talk about how the Falcons win this game. I know. All right. We'll talk about it next as we continue on the Wait For It Tailgate Show, counting down to kickoff in Las Vegas between the Falcons and Raiders on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
We're challenging everybody. If you're going to get out there and beat us, you're going to have to beat us, you know?
Back to the Wait For It Tailgate Show. The Wait For It Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wait For It, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The biggest thing when you talk about overall production is the turnovers. The penalties, we've been really good all year, and yesterday in particular, and like we talked about in a couple of those games right before the bye, that we wanted to clean up some of those things in the red zone in particular, have been absolutely killing us. That reared his ugly head yesterday. Whether you agree or disagree with the penalties, it doesn't really matter. You got to find ways not to get them, and we got to do a better job of doing those things. So really, it's been the turnovers, the penalties, and yesterday in particular, which was kind of an anomaly for most of the season, was the big plays that we give up in the secondary.
Raheem Morris, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. I think I speak, Joe Patrick. Welcome back to the Wait For It Tailgate Show. For most Falcons fans, as we settle into our Barca loungers tonight to watch the game from Vegas here in Atlanta, because I'll settle in and they'll get the ball teed up for the opening kickoff, and I'll go, okay, what the hell's going to go wrong tonight?
Oh, you know, well, I don't want to presume it'll happen, but if you had to go off of the recent track record, there might be some interceptions. I think you'll see some batted passes. That seems to have been a trend for Kirk Cousins here, especially when they get in the red zone. It feels like all of a sudden a lot of passes are getting batted down. partially because he can't really get out of the pocket. He has a league-high 99.4% of his passes coming from inside the pocket, which says something, I think. And who knows, maybe a fumble mixed in there. that would be a recipe for how the Falcons lose this
thing. A missed field goal, a bad penalty, exactly. Blown coverage, all that kind of stuff. You know, right, exactly, missed tackle. What it takes to win is brought to you by Motlick & Associates. When winning is everything, you call Motlick Injury Attorneys at #WIN. That's #WIN#946. When winning is everything, call Motlick. Falcons, you need to call Motlick, okay? I'm saying. You need to call Motlick. Pound win. Yeah, how about that? Pound win. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Raiders. Now, the Raiders probably, one of the venerable franchises in the NFL. Great, glorious franchise that has fallen on hard times over the last 25 years or so since their last Super Bowl. And the trade of John Gruden, the whole Tampa trade.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happened, Bill Callahan. Yeah, and then Bill Callahan destroyed my college. Thanks a lot, Bill. The Raiders probably more known for just moving around to different cities. Something that most Falcons fans probably don't realize is, Joe, you may know this, in Los Angeles, which depending on where you are in Los Angeles and depending on what time of the day you leave, it's either a 3-hour or a 12-hour drive to Las Vegas. But in Los Angeles, in greater Los Angeles, the most popular NFL team remains to this day the Raiders. They are far more popular than the Rams and a hell of more popular than the Chargers from their days as the LA Raiders.
Yeah, I remember. I grew up in California just for like the first 6 or 7 years of my life. I can't remember at this point how long it was, but I do remember the Raiders being very big. I think they were the LA Raiders at the time. It was like the LA Raiders and LA Rams both there in Los Angeles, kind of vying for. And it seemed like the Raiders and the 49ers were obviously the most popular teams there.
Right, and the Raiders are still, so the Raiders crowds, while they tend to be Vegas, populated by a lot of Los Angelinos who go up the interstate to Vegas for the games, drive north to Vegas to go to the games, because, if you learn the trick. The trick is to leave at 3 in the morning, and you're like, I don't want to leave at 3 in the morning. Okay, sit in traffic for 12 hours. Okay, you do you. Or just, it's a 45-minute flight from, like, Burbank, it's just top. It's not that far. We don't get to play the Raiders very often. Matter of fact, the last time the Falcons played the Raiders, Matt Ryan led the Falcons to a 43-6 rout of the Raiders back in the COVID year. It's only the 16th time that these two franchises have ever played, and the Falcons, Joe, have not lost to the Raiders in 20 years.
That's amazing. That's crazy. So, what, 2004, I guess, would have been the last time
they lost? 2004.
Huh. Wow.
Yep. Been a minute, as they say. When you talk about the Raiders, let's talk about, again, you're down to your third-string quarterback, our former starting quarterback. but he does have a weapon. Brock Bowers has been the former Georgia star. Everything we thought he was going to do. Here's a stat for you. Brock Bowers, 5 games with 90-plus receiving yards. No other tight end in this century has had as many such receiving games in his rookie year as Brock Bowers has.
Yeah, and I think that may even sting a little bit more for Falcons fans because, one, he's a Georgia player, and the Falcons have not drafted many of those over the years, at least, like prominent ones that play a prominent role in the team. And then, obviously, the tight end issues that the Falcons have themselves and having invested quite heavily at that position and it not turning out nearly as well as Brock Bowers has turned out so far. So that one stings a little bit, and I think it's going to be really important to watch him in this game because I think this Falcons defense – really for a long, long time, but especially these last couple of years have really been burned by tight ends and even in some big games, games that they should have won. But I'm thinking about last year, game against the Cardinals where Trey McBride goes off. Cade Otton catches a dagger touchdown against you late in the season that pretty much ended your playoff hopes last year. Sam LaPorta had big plays last year. And this year it's continued. It hasn't been as prominent, but this team has struggled to cover tight ends. And Troy Anderson, a player who's now going to be out for the rest of the season after the Falcons placed him on IR this afternoon, he's a guy that you thought would have been able to potentially match up with him and keep him covered. So who do the Falcons turn to cover Brock Bowers? Honestly, it's a good question because I don't know if you have any confidence in any of your kind of reserve secondary players, like D. Alford matched up against Brock Bowers. That seems like a total mismatch, or any of the other defensive backs that you have there. And you don't really have a lot of coverage linebackers either. So I think that Brock Bowers is going to create a very big problem for the Falcons in this game.
Well, I guess the best thing that you can do is hope that Desmond Ridder just doesn't
yes.
see him.
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't see him, or you just get in Ridder's face to the point where he's got to be thinking about your pass rush and potentially, getting sacked, which we saw him take a ton of sacks last year and fumble the ball. Remember, Desmond Ridder just coughs it up left and right. So I think if you're the Falcons, you got to be looking to try to get that ball out of his hand and on the ground.
All right, so I get into a stupid hole occasionally on YouTube or X or I'll crawl into holes occasionally, and I got into one where I was like looking at all the mock drafts. I don't ask why, because I was in my feels about the Falcons, and I'm like, who are the Falcons actually? James Spears Jr. I'm like, yeah, Falcons aren't drafting an edge guy. They don't do that. We got to find like a wide receiver. But then this story comes out. The Raiders fans, if you go to the Raiders blogs this week, that they're all chatting about because their season's shot, right? They're 2-11. Mm-hmm. They're chatting about next year, and they're chatting about the draft. Mm-hmm. And they're chatting about this particular story. Shedeur Sanders is reportedly prepared to be drafted by the Las Vegas Raiders or the Dallas Cowboys in the upcoming NFL draft. There is a high likelihood that Sanders would refuse to play if he's drafted by the Giants or the Browns. And, you had Prime coming out saying, I want the Raiders to draft both my guys somehow or another. That's not going to happen.
Did Deion not come out and say, did Deion refute the story as well, though, saying that it wasn't true that he wouldn't play for those teams? I thought I saw that, but I couldn't.
By the way, I'm not mad at him. It doesn't matter to me. Right. I mean, if he says, look, that's where he wants to play, that's fine by me.
Sure.
And I know that a lot of people are getting, you can't pick your team. I thought, what are you talking about? Of course you can. Let me walk you back. In the Wayback Machine, John Elway comes out of Stanford and tells the Baltimore Colts, there is no chance in hell and high water I'm going to play for you. Mm. And the Colts had the number one pick. And so the Colts traded the number one pick to the Denver Broncos, and the rest is history, right? Mm-hmm. Eli Manning stands up there with the San Diego Chargers, refuses to put the hat on.
I remember this one.
Says, I'm not playing for you. You got to trade me to the Giants. I'm not going to play for you.
Yep.
So don't get mad at Shedeur. By the way, best thing that ever happened to the Atlanta Braves was a star pitcher named Todd Van Poppel, who was a star college pitcher, a player of the year in college, from the Texas Longhorns, Todd Van Poppel. And he had a cup of coffee, with the A's. Todd Van Poppel says, I'm not going to go play for the Braves. They're a disaster. And the Braves went, okay. He said that out loud, and he said, I refuse to sign with the Braves. The Braves had to go to their second choice, and they picked some guy named Larry.
Mm. Hmm.
And, Larry turned out to be okay.
I mean, the Eli situation worked out for both teams, too. I mean, the Chargers got Phillip Rivers. So, all's well that ends well. But,
I mean, the Chargers did
What are the Raiders fans talking about with this story?
Oh, they want Shedeur.
They want Shedeur. Okay.
Yeah, but they're probably not going to get him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they will.
It's so close.
Yeah, I know.
it's a tight race.
Who needs quarterbacks? I mean, the Raiders need a quarterback, so they want to be right there. But there's so many bad teams.
Yeah.
If the Browns end up with the second pick, if the Giants have the first pick, I mean, quarterbacks are going to come up. The funny thing is Travis Hunter probably is probably the best player, right? Mm-hmm. But Cam Ward probably going to go first.
Right.
If the Giants had the first pick, they would probably take Cam Ward. Right. That's my guess.
Yeah. And the Jaguars are in that contention, too, where they're not necessarily looking for a quarterback. They could be a team that is in that mix where, maybe they then become a trade partner for somebody if they're in position to draft a quarterback. But it's going to be one of those interesting drafts because, obviously, every team is looking for that quarterback solution. Such an outside the position itself has such outsized weight in terms of how, the impact that it has on a team. And there are some other really quality players at the top of this draft that I think are going to slip a little bit, probably. Because of it.
Yeah, and not including the freak show that is Travis Hunter.
Yeah, exactly.
And Ashton Jenny. I mean, these guys could, there's a reason these guys are there.
Yeah.
I mean, they could flat play. I mean, if Jenny is Saquon Barkley or CMC, do you not want him? I mean, it's why the Falcons drafted Bijan as high as they did.
Jenny is one of those guys who I think, at the running back position, especially a guy who like him, who's such a workhorse running back, who could really be a feature guy. I wonder if there might be a team next year that's somewhere near the bottom of that first round, which means you're essentially a playoff team and a championship contender who might want to trade up and maybe, you know, sacrifice something in the future to really go up and get that kind of core piece. Because, you know, for the Ravens, for example, you know, they were able to do it in a different way and adding a guy like Derrick Henry. But, you know, that's really kind of, you know, solidified that offense and it's never really looked better. So you wonder if one of those teams, maybe like the Chiefs or somebody, might make a run at a Genty if he's available.
All right, the Wait For Tailgate Show continues with John and Joe as we count down to kickoff tonight in Las Vegas with Wes and Dave on the call here. Falcons 5.5-point favorites over the Raiders. Can they snap out of their long funk as we take you to the network coverage about an hour from now right here on your home with the Falcons Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Go!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you in part by Orchard. Sell your home, get paid twice. Learn now at Orchard.com. John Fricke along our side, our Falcons insider Joe Patrick, taking you to the network coverage at 6:30 tonight. Pregame with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson of the Falcons and the Raiders as we kind of look at this game tonight. Raiders 2-11 on the year. By the way, Joe, everybody in the NFL owes the Raider organization, every owner in the NFL owes the Raider organization a serious debt of gratitude, because way back because I've been doing this song. Back in 82, the Raiders suit. I was working then, covering it. I was 22 years old, geez. Al Davis moved the team, said, I'm leaving Oakland, I'm going to Los Angeles. And the NFL stepped in and said, no, you can't move.
Mm.
So Al Davis sued him and won in court. And their moves to Los Angeles and then to Las Vegas, the two moves, because they moved back to Oakland.
Right.
And then, you know, Oakland to L.A., L.A. back to Oakland, Oakland to Las Vegas. You know, one of them wound up at the Supreme Court. But they proved, the Raiders did, that each of the 32 teams are independent companies. Like, if you wanted to move, like when, you know, Elon Musk says he's moving Tesla from California to Texas, nobody could say you can't do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Supreme Court said, yes, each of these 32 teams they're not owned by the NBA. They're owned by the owners. If mm-hmm. Arthur Blank wanted to pick up the Atlanta Falcons and move them to London, he could. Mm-hmm. Nobody could stop him. And that's because the Raiders won the lawsuit saying that I own this franchise. I can move it wherever I want. So, and it makes owners lots of money.
I was gonna say, I guess I get, yeah, okay. So it's good for the Raiders. Yeah. Now I think every NFL fan would be like, is this precedent for us to lose our team? Then I guess
half the league's moved, for crying out loud,
that's
right?
True.
I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs weren't originally in Kansas City. You know that, right? They were the Dallas Texans.
Were they?
Not the Houston
what?
Texans. The Dallas Texans.
Oh, the Dallas Texans. Yeah.
Yeah, the Dallas Texans.
Where were the Chiefs? You say the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs. The Chiefs were originally the Dallas Texans.
And oh, from Dallas whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't know that.
Came the Chiefs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Today I learned.
Yeah. Of course, you know, the Rams, you know where they started, right? Of course, you know, right? Look at their...
Okay, so I always thought it was St. Louis. I always thought it was St. Louis, but it's not, apparently. It's Cleveland?
What? The Cleveland Rams.
I always thought they were originally the St. Louis Rams that then moved to L.A.
No, Cleveland Rams, and then they moved to... Yeah, no, the Cleveland Rams, then they moved to L.A., then they moved to St. Louis, then they moved back to L.A.
Mm. I guess it was the Cardinals. They were the St. Louis Cardinals, right? That was
yes, but they were originally the Chicago Cardinals.
Who's on
the
first?
Chicago Cardinals moved to St. Louis, and then they became the Phoenix Cardinals. Remember that? And then they eventually, they were the Phoenix Cardinals for a couple of years.
Oh my goodness!
Then they changed their name. Anyway, moved to a new stadium outside Phoenix, and Phoenix said, "If you're moving outside Phoenix, you can't call yourself Phoenix." Okay, we'll call ourselves Arizona. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Wait For Tailgate, also brought to you by the W Sauce, the official sauce of our tailgate, bigger, better, bolder. Visit thewsauce.com today and find a retailer near you. Hey, how much pressure is Terry Fontenot under right now?
Oh, I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot. You know, I think with obviously the way that this season has unfolded in the last month, and then we've talked about it, the reasons why. Part of it is the quarterback situation. You obviously changed the head coach coming into this year. That was also supposed to give you a boost. kind of hasn't. You know, this team is still kind of on that trajectory to be a. They might not be 7-10, although they could. But you know, it's, you know, they're going to be middling. You know, not very good, playing lesser than the sum of their parts type of team. They just kind of seem poorly coached when you look at some of the penalties that occur, or the turnovers or whatnot. So that hasn't really helped either. And then so who do you kind of hold accountable for this season? I think that, you know, he's got to be kind of worried it might be him. And then you also look at the fact that there's not a lot of depth on this team. The way that they've drafted has not been very good. You're not getting really hardly any production this season out of the rookie class that you brought in. And when you lose a player like a Troy Andersen, you don't necessarily have guys who are able to step up and be ready to play. Or if you do, then that takes away from a different aspect of the team. Like Caden Ellis has really kind of done yeoman's work and filling in at middle linebacker when he's needed. But I think that the Falcons would like for Caden Ellis to be a guy who can kind of move around, be a versatile piece where they can have him be, you know, an on the ball, you know, edge rushing type of player, or, you know, have him do various different things. And now he's just kind of pigeonholed into this spot. And so I think that there's, you know, a lot of accountability that Terry Fontenot has to take in the way that this team has gone over the last few years, and especially these last couple.
Yeah, and the way that this has kind of fallen and shattered underneath his feet, because he's responsible greatly for the $100 million to Kirk Cousins. And, you know, when you, again, you got to sit, I tried to tell Joe, you've been in the office, I've been in the office, no fans have been in Arthur Blank's office. It is an at Flowery Branch. Yeah. It is an intimidating place.
Yes, it is. It's like a museum,
it's
honestly.
It's a big desk, okay?
It's like a Game of Thrones type of desk that he's got.
Yes,
there.
Yes. Yeah, you walk in here, sit down, and you kind of slink into one of those leather chairs, and you're like, oh, okay. Well, here's
it's been forged with
you
iron.
You told me, you know, I mean, I want to make sure I get this right, because you told me $100 million of my money.
Yeah.
You know,
that's an intimidating conversation to have, but you know, that's what Terry Fontenot faces really at this point, you know, because things have not gone the way that he wanted. And Arthur Blank has actually ponied up money, like not just in terms of the salary cap and whatnot, but literally his own cash, kind of like putting the advance forward in order to be able to pay some of these guys, especially like Kirk Cousins with the bonus money and stuff like that, which Terry Fontenot was very appreciative of in the offseason, that he was willing to be such a gracious owner in terms of wanting this team to be good. And again, that's what makes you think that somebody's going to be held accountable for this, because nobody wants it more than Arthur Blank. Like Arthur Blank does not like the way that this thing has gone. And that's the reason why they fired Arthur Smith, obviously. And now if this season, if worse comes to worse and they finish, you know, out of the playoff picture, obviously, but if they have an 8-9 record, or, you know, Lord forbid, a 7-10 record again, there's got to be hell to pay, honestly. Like somebody's got to be held accountable, because he's sick of it. The fans are sick of it. Nobody likes it, but it just keeps happening. And you got to root out the cause for why it is happening.
Yeah, right. I mean, for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs since 2017. I mean, the last playoff game this team played, some people think it was 28-3. It was actually the next year. They were in Philadelphia, first and goal on the 10,
yep.
Divisional round. If they throw it to Julio four times, if they get a touchdown, they win the game, go back to the NFC Championship game with a chance to go back to the Super Bowl. Well, that was 2017.
They would have won that championship
it's
game, too. They were the better team. They would have won the Super Bowl, I'm sure of it.
Yep. Yeah. And so, but that was January of 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, it was 2017 season, December 2017. But, I mean, it's been that long. You know, eight seasons, 7 years.
That was.
You know, I haven't been to a playoff.
Right. That was a different era of Falcons football. Like when Matt Ryan, when he left the team, like that turned over a new leaf in terms of a new era of this team. And in this new era, there's been no success to speak of. There's been some promising things. There are some green shoots, but ultimately it hasn't resulted in anything. And, you know, the other thing is Arthur Blank and, you know, his whole team, the AMB organization, like they want Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They want like a showcase game, a centerpiece game that is the Falcons playing on that field. And they got that a little bit, a taste of it with the Sunday night game against the Chiefs. They had the open roof and everything, but make no mistake, like they want that playoff game. They want that home playoff game, you know, a national game that has national implications and all that, and they just have not had that. And I think it's got to be driving them crazy at this point.
Right, exactly. I mean, because it has not become a home. We've talked about this, not a home field advantage
not
for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, it's not. It's sadly not.
And so, Yeah, sadly not. When you look at the Raiders, just again, Desmond Ridder slated to start tonight. He's thrown one touchdown pass this year, limited action as the third string quarterback. Brock Bowers is the biggest threat on their offense. They do have a starting running back who played at Boise State. Unfortunately for them, it's not Ashton Jenny. It's Alexander Madison. This team doesn't have a whole lot of firepower. And if they go up and down the field on you, and you got, you know, defensive backs out there, you know, counting birds in the trees and not paying attention to where the ball is, at that point, I don't know what.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This game is so critical.
And I think it's so critical, and I think it'll be interesting to see how the players respond in this environment. Obviously, it's not, you know, the team, the caliber of talent that they'll be playing against tonight is not top tier, but it is still NFL. It's an NFL game. It's an NFL team.
Joe, they haven't won in 3 months.
I know. But I'm just saying, I mean, they still
haven't won in 3 months.
What I'm saying is that if guys are not paying attention, they will get burned. You know, they will get punished if they're not on top of their game. And I'm interested to see how they respond in this moment where I think every player knows that this is a must-win game. I think Kirk Cousins probably knows that if he doesn't win this game, he's probably not going to be a starting quarterback, at least for this team, again this season and maybe going forward in the next year. So there is so much riding on this for all these players.
Is such a disaster. If you're not going to have, I mean, it could be good for the franchise, obviously, because Michael Penix might turn out to be a pretty damn good quarterback, and that's great. But you're going to have to Denver this thing, okay? If you bench, this is the thing I was talking about on talk show I was doing the other night. You go ahead and bench Kirk Cousins. That's fine. I mean, if you want to, but you might end up when you bench him, it's like a used car. You shoot the value. That thing is shot.
Yeah.
You are not going to get anything for him in the open market. You know, you're going to have to Russ Wilson. You're going to have to eat $50 million next year and sell him for a buck.
Yeah, potentially. I think the one thing that could give them hope in terms of there being a market for Kirk Cousins, if it comes to this after the season, is the fact that we were kind of discussing it in the last segment that, you know, the college quarterback class is not great. And if there's a team out there that feels like they need a solution at that position, then maybe Kirk Cousins is that guy. But the other thing is that the downside is, like, any team that acquires Kirk Cousins would know that he's not a long-term piece for them. He's going to be probably a one-year player, honestly. And is that even something Kirk would, you know, want to do? So but you're right. To kind of wrap this up, you are right that if they bench him, it really does change the entire dynamic of what the plan was. And Raheem Morris talked about this. They don't want to deviate from the plan that they had set. But ultimately, if it's not getting results, you've got to change to something that
might. Yeah, plus, because your only option may be to cut him because he's got a no-trade clause. So, right. I mean, you just have to cut him.
Right.
And then now you got $50 million. You go, okay, well, good luck. Yeah, the options are not good.
The only option is win.
All right. Yeah, the only option is win. And a lot of us are like, I could talk about the Raiders haven't won in 3 months. Kirk Cousins hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 6 weeks. Cash 6 checks for $15 million in those 6 weeks. Throwing 8 interceptions. Yeah, that's about a little less than $2 million per interception. That's okay. Whew. All right, top of the hour, counting down to kickoff. Let's see if the Falcons can turn it around tonight. I do want to be positive. Look, I'm a Kool-Aid guy, right? I mean, but at the same time, I got to be honest about it. Top of the hour, and in the next hour, Joe and I will wrap up. We'll also hand it off to the network and the pregame show as we count down to kickoff tonight between the Falcons and Raiders on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.